오늘 하나님께서 우리에게 주시는 말씀.
The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 1 verses 5 to 11. It is page 85 in the New Testament.
제가 하나님의 말씀을 봉독하겠습니다.
Allow me to read the words. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Amen. In the Sermon on the Mount spoken by Jesus, there is a part where Jesus says the following, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. If a vine bears grapes, it is surely a grapevine. And the tree that bears figs, it has to be a fig tree. You can't expect figs from a grapevine and expect grapes from a fig tree. In the same way, and even more true, you can't expect grapes or figs from thorn bushes or thistles that don't bear any fruit in the first place. And if the grapevine or the fig tree is good, then its fruits are bound to be good. And if the grapevine or the fig tree is poor, then it is bound to bear bad grapes and bad figs. What Jesus is saying here is that the kind of tree you will have will determine the kind of fruit you will bear, and the state of the health of the tree will determine the quality of the fruit that it will bear. But the opposite is not true. Just because I have a lot of apples doesn't mean that I'm an apple tree. And if I'm originally a sick apple tree and somebody just sticks or strings a bunch of good apples on me, doesn't turn me into a good apple tree. If I have a lot of good fruits, regardless of the state of my health, and many different kinds of that, then surely I'm not a tree. I'm not a good tree, but just a fruit seller. We worship, volunteer for things, serve others, and tell people about the gospel so that we can live in ways that's fitting for God's children who are Christians and who have been saved. But just because we do a lot of activities like these, worship and volunteer and serve and share and evangelize, they don't automatically prove that we are right with God and we are becoming more like God's children. Why? Because there is sinful nature in us that would try to prove our superiority by doing them rather than trying to stand better in faith by doing them. About Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, the Bible in Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 to 20 testify as follows. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Now Mary became pregnant while she was engaged to Joseph. Now according to the law, this kind of woman had to suffer the punishment of being stoned to death. If Joseph had let the village people know that Mary became pregnant without him being responsible, it would have been difficult for Mary to remain alive, and Joseph could have proven his innocence. But because Joseph was a righteous man before God, he was able to believe the message of the angel, the messenger of the Lord, that what is conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit, and refrained from sleeping with her after marrying her. Joseph is not righteous because he did these things. He was able to do them because he was righteous. And there is another scene that is moving about Joseph, as told by the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 2, verses 13 to 15 testify as follows. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." After the wise men from the east had left, the angel who knew that the madness of King Herod would bring about the death of all children under two, told Joseph he should leave Bethlehem for Egypt in Joseph's dream. Joseph obeyed the instruction and he escaped to Egypt that night. The Bible emphasizes that Joseph took the child and his mother with him. In addition, after King Herod dies, the messenger of God appears to Joseph again in his dream and tells him to return to Israel. Matthew chapter 2, verse 21 describes that scene as follows. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. Here, it is repeated that Joseph took the child and his mother with him. And this is the last part that we see Joseph in the Bible. If we were to be precise, Joseph was not formally married to Mary when she became pregnant. Moreover, the baby that Mary conceived was not his at all. And yet, he obeyed the message of the messenger of the Lord. Because Joseph was a righteous man, and because of the silence and the obedience that Joseph kept before God, not only was Mary saved, but the silence and obedience became the pathways that saved the entire human race. The verse 6 of today's text testifies as follows. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. There are a lot of men and women that appear in the Bible who lived as a person of God, but there's not a lot of cases where a couple, where both both the couples lived fittingly as God's children and lived righteously. But Zechariah and Elizabeth tried all their might to live righteously before God. We note in particular their walking is present participle. It wasn't the case that Zechariah and Elizabeth kept the Lord's commandments and statutes of the Lord in the past at some point, but they were faithfully walking the way of obedience from the past to the present. Then one day, it was Zechariah's turn to serve God as a priest at the temple. The verse 8 testifies as follows. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God. As I said last week, at the time there was about 18,000 to 20,000 priests, and the total population of Palestine was about 500,000. The priests were divided into 24 divisions, and therefore, for each division, there was about 800 priests. Each of these 24 divisions served at the temple on an alternating basis, twice for a week during a year. In other words, they worked at the temple for 2 weeks out of the year. And for the three great religious observances, the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost and the Feast of Booths, and the Feast of Ingathering, all of the priests served at the temple because a huge number of people flocked to the temple to observe them. When a division was up to serve the temple, when it was a turn of a division to serve the temple, not all of the priests of the division got to serve the sacrifice. At the time for daily offerings, two male sheep that were 1 year old without defect were offered as a sacrifice, and one was offered in the morning and the other at sundown. And a very fine meal of about 2.3 liters and an oil about 0.9 liters were mixed together and was also offered up as an offering. And there were three important objects in the Holy of Holies in the temple. At the right, at the northern side, there was a table on which the bread of the presence was placed. On that table, altogether 12 bread of presence that represented the 12 tribes of Israel were placed. And every Sabbath, the breads were replaced with new breads, but they were always there, and this symbolized that it is God who gives us food. On the other side of the table, in other words, to the left, to the southern side, there was a lamp post. The God commanded for this lamp to be lit from evening till morning, and this symbolized that even if people fall into deep sleep, God does not sleep and watches over his people. And what was right in front of the Holy of the Holies was the incense holder, and the incense was burnt morning and evening. This symbolized that God is a being who listens to his people's prayers. Now, to carry out all these activities, about 50 priests out of 800 priests that belonged to a division were needed, and the rest cleaned the table, cleaned the temple or around the temple and did other incidental duties. Zechariah got to be included in that 50 priests who were serving the sacrifice. On top of that, he got to serve in a very special way. Verse 9 testifies as follows. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Because incense was to be burnt in the morning and in the evening, two persons, two priests were chosen by lot to carry out this duty. And Zechariah happened to be, was chosen. Now, it wasn't easy to get chosen to be included among the 50 when one's division turn came to serve at the temple. And it was very difficult to get chosen to be the two who got to carry out the duty of burning the incense. At the time, there were a number of priests who never got to burn incense during sacrifice their whole lives. So a priest who got to burn incense was excluded from future lotteries for that service. So burning the incense was something that a priest could do only once in his life. So therefore, Zechariah got to perform one of the most important duties as a priest. Now I'll recite verse 8 again. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, God acknowledged Zechariah and Elizabeth as being righteous. And so Zechariah performed his duty. He did so before God. Because he was a good tree, in other words, a good priest, he was able to offer good priestly works as fruit. If he was only interested in looking good, in doing his duties, and this was the goal that he was interested in, he would never have become the good tree, the good priest. In other churches, prayers are often offered by deacons, deaconesses, and senior elders in turn. Sometimes, only the pastors offer prayers during service. In our church, a member gets his or her turn to pray during worship according to the Korean alphabetical order of their last names. If they have been registered with the church for more than 1 year, have been baptized for a year, and is older than 20. So in terms of divisional order of priests, we could say that our church goes by the Korean alphabetical order. The reason that we do this is because all of us are to live as priests before God.
1
Peter chapter 2, verse 9 testifies as follows. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. There is none among us who have not been chosen, who is not one of the royal priesthood. At our church, a total of five persons get to pray during the service during the week, including the four worship services and Wednesday night Bible study. There are 52 weeks during a year, and so a total of 260 persons get the turn to pray during worship. Numerically, if all of our registered members were to take turn to pray, a member would get a chance to pray again only after 40 years. A couple of years ago, an elderly member told me that this person got to pray during a Sunday service and said, this may be the last Sunday worship prayer I get to do. I was moved by that. To some person, it's just a worship prayer he or she get to do because a turn has come. But for someone, it could be the last service prayer that the person get to offer to God while he or she is on this earth. There is always something that we get to do for the last time while we are here on earth. This is the thought that I had at the moment. Now, there is a classic example of people who didn't live up to their priestly duties of doing their utmost to live righteously before God and to carry out their duties before God. They are the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verses 3-17 gives us a pretty good picture of what their behaviors were like. Now, it was the practice of the priest that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest servant would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand while the meat was being boiled, and would plunge the fork into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burned, the priest servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the person said to him, "Let the fat be burned first, and then take whatever you want," the servant would answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." The sin of the young man was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. At the time, all sacrifices were burnt, except for a peace offering, where only a part of innards and fats on the innards were burnt. The meats were shared with the priest and people who gave the offering, and the priest got to take the right hind leg and the chest area, but Hophni and Phinehas didn't care. Whatever that came up on the fork was theirs. Not only that, they forcefully took meat even before they were offered because they wanted a barbecue. That their sin was great before God was because they had such contempt for Lord's offering. And this is what the Bible says about them. Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. That they were scoundrels means that they not only did bad things, it means that they are evil persons, worthless persons, gangsters. Hophni and Phinehas were sons of priests, and they were treated as priests by people. In their name cards, they probably said Priest Hophni and Priest Phinehas. But from God's perspective, they were evil persons, worthless persons. In the name card that God had for them, it said, Thug Hophni, Gangster Phinehas. The reason that Hophni and Phinehas could only yield fruit of desires that disregarded the sacrifice of the Lord was that they were bad trees, trees of evil, worthless and gangster-like priests. On the other hand, David, who lived as a priest like king, although he was not a priest, professes as follows in Psalm chapter 16, verse 8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. David says that when he kept the Lord before him, God always stayed by his right side. I've said before that right side symbolizes the power of God. For example, God promised that I will hold you with my righteous right hand. It is meant as a promise that God will surely watch over us. It does not mean that God does not have left hand or his left hand is weak. It is a promise that God will guard over us with all of his power. And in Acts, it says that after Jesus lived again and ascended to heaven, he sat down at the right side of God's throne. This means that the existence and the power of Holy Son is the same as that of the Holy Father. And so what David is saying is that when he did all things before God, in the sight of God, God was with him with his power. Solomon, his son, who grew up watching this, later offered God 1,000 offerings. At that time, God appeared in his dreams to ask him what he wanted. God would give him whatever he asked. This is what 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6 records as being Solomon's answer. Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day." Solomon remembered his father David. He realized that he got to sit on the throne because his father David was somebody who walked with and before God. So even in the eyes of Solomon, his son, David was a person who walked with God. The tree that was David, who was the priestly king, bore a fruit like Solomon. To act in the sight of God, to walk before God, means obeying God's words and doing things that God delights in. When one violates God's words, disobeys God's will, or does things that delights one's selfish and diseased heart, the person would say, "God, please just forgive me this time once and just pretend that you didn't know." Or, "God, this time around, this time only, I'm going to walk behind you rather than in front of you." As a priest, as Zechariah conducted duties of a priest in the sight of God, the time that Zechariah and Elizabeth lived was a very gloomy time because of consecutive political oppressions of the Greek and Roman regimes. They did not have a child, although this was a priestly household, and they had almost no hope that they could have a child because of their old age. However, neither the time that they lived in nor the situation that their family faced stopped Zechariah from being upright in the sight of God, nor did they serve as excuses to live without God. No matter what position we hold, who became righteous through the blood and grace of Jesus Christ, have duties to serve before God. There are duties as husband and wife, parents and children,
and
we have duties as a businessman, as housewives, employees, and as or as students. Above all, wherever we are, whatever we do, whatever we have, we have duties as Christians, God's children, and priests who are like kings. Whatever duties we have, even if they may look small or make us look small, let us conduct such duties in the sight of God faithfully and do our best. When we do this, our lives and our families will be established righteously by God, and the will of God will be accomplished through us. Let us pray. Father God, we saw how Zechariah, who struggled to live upright in the sight of God, conducted his duties as a priest in the sight of God when it became his turn to serve. Joseph was able to accept the pregnancy of fiancée Maria and endure the hard life of having to move to Egypt with Jesus' wife in return, because he tried his best to live righteously in the sight of God. However, Hophni and Phinehas were trees which appeared as fine priests, but inside there were trees of evil, worthlessness, trees like thugs, and the things that scorned and contempt had treated the sacrifices to God contemptuously. Father, wherever we happen to be, or whatever we do, as people who became children of God through the Holy Spirit and righteous person by the blood of Jesus Christ, help us to become Christians who conduct their duties before the sight of God. We do not know when will be our last day to conduct our duties, whether it is today or tomorrow. Help us to conduct our duties before the sight of God. Help us to live in the sight of God, serve God, even to our very last breath. Therefore, may each of us become Zechariah and Elizabeth of this age, and may the will and words of the Lord be accomplished in this land, just as John the Baptist was born through them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.